We have some great value options to help you afford high-priced superstars. There are three players from the Eagles and Saints game that make up my personal favorite GPP stack this week. Want to know who they are? And we have what could very well be a Super Bowl 53 preview this week. We're discussing this and a lot more. Welcome to the Future DFS podcast. My name is Garen. I'm here with my partner in crime, Christian. Christian, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Basketball season is rolling. Football's rolling. There's a bunch of great stuff going on. We're winning money every week, so can't complain about that. So yeah, I'm ready to rock.
It has been great, great, great here at Future DFS. And always on the podcast, we talk a ton about football. We're definitely going to do a lot of that this week. But before we hop into that, guys, thanks for tuning in. Football, we win money once a week. We are winning money in hockey and basketball every single day. So if you are playing DFS once a week and winning money once a week, let you know there are six other days that you are missing out. Come join us at www.futuredfs.com. Come win money every single day. Dude, I'll tell you what, one of my favorite ways to start my day out, I get up in the morning, I'm brushing my teeth, and I open up and I'm looking at all of the winning screenshots that our members are posting from basketball, from hockey, you know, the comments that they're leaving. It's fantastic. It's a great way to start the day. So, yeah, yeah, I'm excited about everything we're doing right now, man.
It's great. We've been on fire for forever. So
it's been a while,
just,
yeah.
Let's just keep it rolling, you know?
Yes, sir. So, man. Dude, there's a – I was kind of digging into these numbers a little bit. There's a lot of stuff I'm excited about for this NFL slate this week.
Yeah, this might be one of the most jam-packed slates we've seen all year, actually. Yep. Just about every stud team or stud players or stud stacks are in the main slate, for the exception of, obviously, that crazy game that everybody's wanting to be part of. Which makes the Monday, Thursday, or the Thursday, Monday slate, and even the primetime slate, Sunday night, Monday night, really exciting.
It does, and there's also the all of Sunday through Monday slate, too. So
yep, the Sunday, Monday slate. So there's a lot of great stuff to play DFS this weekend. It's going to be a really fun slate. Usually, you know, I play one or two main slates, and then I'll play, like, maybe one off slate. But this weekend, I'm going to go crazy. I'm gonna do Sunday 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, prime time, Sunday, Monday. I mean, there's just so much great stuff. I mean, you just want to be part of it.
Yep, absolutely. So and just to let you guys know, typically when we're doing this podcast, we kind of talk about the Sundayish Mondayish slate, and we always put together a lineup at the end of the podcast using Futurecast, which, if you've listened to our podcast in the past, you know that Futurecast is our optimizer that is available to our members. If you want to get a hold of this bad boy, I actually call her a girl, whatever. But if you want to get a piece of this, again, www.futuredfs.com. Get signed up today. We're going to give you your first month for half off. And you get everything for one price. And I challenge you guys to try to find a better deal than what we're offering with everything that we jam pack into our membership. But at the end of our podcast, we're going to run Futurecast, and we're going to put out a lineup. It'll be for the Sunday, Monday slate. So stick around, listen to everything we've got to say about this slate, grab this lineup at the end, and you know, go from there. So, where do you want to start at this week, man?
Well, let's just start right at the top. Talking Sunday, Monday, biggest game on the slate. Everybody's super excited about it. Rams at the Chiefs. 62.5 point over under to 63 point over under. I mean, this is just insane. We were talking about last week that 58 was tied for the highest over under of all time. Right. It's only happened three times. And we are crushing that with the 63-point over/under. I mean, that's 5 points higher. That's almost a whole nother touchdown. It's just nuts. And I personally think it's going to be pretty close to that over/under.
I was just
I don't
going to
know
ask
what's
you
going.
that. So,
Yeah, with a number that high, just as from a bettor's perspective, it's hard to just say it's going over that because we are in the NFL. Touchdowns are hard. These teams are pros. And then the other thing you look at is a scenario, right? You have two of the best teams in the NFL playing each other. In my power rankings, I have both these guys in the top six right now. So I mean, this is just a match of giants facing each other. Two prolific offenses, two defenses who are kind of getting exposed right now. Which is going to be interesting to see. So it leads to what you would think would be the over, but what you find when you dig deeper in the data is that when stud teams play like this, a lot of times they outthink the room, right? They're going to come out and they're going to try to be a little conservative, or they're going to try to be a little tricky, and they're going to be getting after each other and playing a little more aggressively than usual because it is such a big game.
right.
So what you might find is that it could get close to that, a push or an under, which is going to be crazy. But either way, even if it's an under or a push, I mean, these teams are putting up, 30 points apiece. So, I mean, you want some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, gosh, there's so many different places we can start. I mean, when we were talking about the betting aspect, which just to let you guys know, again, if you don't know, not only do we handle DFS, but we also have your betting, so that I don't even know what your record's at right now with that, but it's just
Oh,
insane.
it's pretty crazy. So, we unfortunately had our first losing week of the entire NFL season, which is pretty good considering we're coming to week 10, right?
11.
Or week 11. Yes, we got through
Yeah.
10 weeks with only one losing week. It was a 1-3-1 week. Some crazy stuff happened, but even with that, we're sitting at a 56% accuracy. We were right around 60 before that. So if you're a gambler, that is off the charts. You want some of that. We're killing it. We're gonna get back right this week, and I'm really excited.
Absolutely.
Speaking of bets, the first little sneak peek into my betting preview, the Chiefs at +3.5. I think they're going to win this game outright. I think you could even play the money line here. So there's a little sneak to that.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, guys, grab your pens and paper, write that down, lock it in, because trust me, if Christian's been handling the betting model and it's just been insane. I love going to our Slack chat channel for the betting and just looking at, oh, win, win, win. So it's fun. So I was looking at the defense when you were talking about the betting, trying to decide, if I thought the over under was where it was going to go. And dude, I'd be surprised if it didn't hit that over. Honestly, looking at these numbers here.
Yeah, so what I'm looking at as a bettor, like I said, what you see on paper is these two horrible defenses, right?
Right.
But I'm looking at more of a matchup perspective. You can't deny those options. Obviously, playing the over is not going to be, nobody's going to judge you for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But what I really believe is going to happen is these two teams are going to come out and they're going to treat this like the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
think of how many crazy high scoring Super Bowls we've ever had. Not too many, right? A lot of
Right.
times it's pretty low scoring game. Once we get into the later part of the season, after week 10, NFL changes. It gets a little gritty. People start playing a little tougher. People start treating matchups more like chess matches versus crazy high flying things. Now the NFL is tuned for more high flying offenses this year, but I just have this gut feeling that these guys are gonna come at each other. They're gonna check each other out. They're gonna try to get to give a little more details about their coverages, about what they're going to run. And they also don't want to give away too much. They might face each other again in the playoffs. And if you come out and give your whole bag of tricks now, you're not going to be able to get some of that later. So I think it's going to be a much more conservative play calling for both of them. It's going to be a little grittier game. But you're right. It could easily. It can easily go off and be a crazy high scoring game.
So I'm excited for it, man. It's one of those primetime games I'm definitely going to tune in and watch. Let's jump into this position by position, or is there a certain area you want to tackle this game first?
Just you guys can play anybody here. It's not even a question. Mahomes and Goff look great. Gurley and Hunt, great plays. Hunt's the slightly better play with a little better salary, coming in at 8,800 versus Todd Gurley at 10,600. But they're both going to be pretty high owned guys. In the receiving core, I mean, obviously Tyreek Hill, he's a monster. Feel free to lock him in. And then Cooks, or excuse me,
Wood. Oh, Cooks, okay.
yeah, Cooks and Robert Wood, obviously are both great plays as well.
So we have what's called a future DFS score, and it is an algorithm that looks at several different metrics, and it tells a huge story at one glance, and it's been crazy accurate this year, especially in basketball. But so I'm looking at this here, and it gives Robert Woods a future DFS score of 93.61. Now, guys, this isn't like 93.61 is what he's going to get on FanDuel. Like I said, it's just the score from this algorithm. But and then it gives Cooks a 91.77. So looking at that, they're not too far too different. But when we look at the value, which is part of the future DFS score, it gives Robert Woods a 10-point boost over Cook. So that's that kind of stuff like that jumps off at me when I'm looking at it. And if you look at their cost on FanDuel, they're $300 of difference. Cooks is a little bit more, 7,800, where Woods is 7,500. But between those two, if I'm going back and forth, I gotta pull the trigger on Woods.
Yeah, he's been the safer play this year, overall. So, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah. Plus you save $300. So you said just a couple minutes ago, you really play anybody, which is kind of obvious with this high over under. Is there any trap potential here? Is there anybody like, oh, I definitely want that guy because of such and such, but through your research, you're like, you know what? You should really stay away from that play in this game.
The trap play here is the defenses. No, I'm just kidding. Don't play the defenses. No, what I think people might do is maybe try to get cute and play somebody like Reynolds because Kupp is out. And I just don't think in a game like this with such a high over under those little cute plays are going to be needed. You want some of that touchdown exposure, right? You want some of those big yard plays, and this year, unfortunately, not too many wide receiver threes have been really jumping off the pages like they have in years past. So I wouldn't try to get cute in this game. I'd jump right in. I'd grab one of these guys, one of these studs, and just roll with it.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah, so well, we could spend the entire podcast talking about this game, but yeah, I'm sure there's other games people want to hear about. New Orleans and Philadelphia. What are your thoughts on that game, man?
Yes, this is another game I'm really excited for. A lot of my cash game picks are coming from here, obviously, just because on paper it looks like the Saints are gonna roll over the Eagles. Their line's at 7.5 right now. I don't know if that's covered by the Saints. I think it should be a pretty good game. I think this is another game that defensively can maybe hit the under. The Saints defense is pretty solid. In a lot of places, they're the number one team in power rankings based on just everything, defense, offense, the pieces they have all around them. And the Eagles are starting to get it together again. Obviously, they're still really beat up in their secondary, so I really like the pass catching options here with Michael Thomas. Obviously, Alvin Kamara, you should treat him like a receiver. And Drew Brees, I mean, he's the cash game stud right now in quarterback. There's a lot of guys around his price that can do pretty well, but it's going to be hard to fade Drew Brees in this matchup.
I completely agree. From a cash game perspective, I saw firsthand last week what the Saints are capable of. Still kind of licking my wounds from that one. But on the other side of the ball, Carson Wentz is at the top of my favorite GPP stack this week. Just kind of digging in and breaking this down this week. Carson Wentz pairing him with Alshon Jeffrey and then running things back with Michael Thomas is hands down, that is my number one GPP stack this week. Guys, I typically don't give away my number one GPP stack on the podcast, so it's coming up on Thanksgiving. I'm feeling generous and stuff, so that's normally a members only thing, but it's I love it so much with like my whole heart.
Yeah,
Wentz,
absolutely.
Jeffrey, Thomas.
I love that play. I even wouldn't be afraid of playing Wentz in cash. He's a much better quarterback, and I know a lot of people messed up last week thinking Dalton was going to be able to keep up in cash just because he was going to have to throw the ball a lot to keep up with the Saints. But a lot of we everybody really underestimated how depleted their team is on offense. And the Eagles aren't depleted on offense. They're a put together team right now. Carson Wentz is going to have to throw the ball to keep up with the Saints. And I think he's going to do a great job doing it. So I really love that stack. And just looking at my projections right now, I have both Brees and Wentz at extremely low owned at the quarterback position. So you could even flip another line and run it back opposite with like a Brees, Thomas, Jeffrey stack, you know?
Yep.
So I really like the idea of getting some exposure to this game, and rolling with it because it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one too. Let's see. So we kind of touched on Carson Wentz and Drew Brees. Wentz is the cheaper quarterback of the two at 7,700. He's even 6,300 on DraftKings. Yeah, let's see. I've got him projected for three, a little over three touchdowns. I've got Drew Brees at just right around the same thing. So it's going to be a battle back and forth. I think they probably both throw maybe a pick, but Carson Wentz definitely has him in the rushing yards and could possibly get a rushing touchdown. Yeah, that's. I don't know if you want to jump into Kamara and Ingram.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, as of right now, you can never fade Alvin Kamara. You're always welcome to just lock him in and roll with him. His price, for as consistent as he's been, hasn't jumped around too much. Hasn't gotten too crazy. He's always in the high 8,000s. Right now, he's 8,900 on FanDuel. I really like him. And then Ingram's more of a game-specific matchup. I loved him last week, and he really performed. But then in minus matchups, like the three games before, he really didn't get too much done. This week's another minus matchup for him. He's not really guaranteed goal line carries, so he's going to have to be in a position where he could break off a big run.
Right.
That's what he did last week against Cincinnati. He got the same amount of touches as he's averaged the entire game, except his rushing yards jumped up, 15, 20 yards a carry,
Yeah, I
and he
saw
was
that.
able to catch a pass for a touchdown. So,
I saw that too.
he's definitely more game script. I don't like him in cash just because of that, the Phillies' rushing defense. However, if you're going to put him in GPPs, he's going to be extremely low owned, and he always has that upside to get a touchdown or two, and that could be a game changer, especially at $7,100. You're not going to find too many guys around that price point that are going to beat that.
Right. Hey, let's jump back to Alvin Kamara real quick. Okay, so all last year, all this year, the consensus number one running back has been Todd Gurley. No question. I won't even entertain an argument suggesting otherwise right now. I'm not saying he's the greatest of all time, but right now, best player in the game. How close is Alvin Kamara to not beating or surpassing Gurley? But I mean, are we talking about them on the same tier, or how close is he to Gurley's tier?
So if I were to separate him in tiers, I'd call Gurley a tier one, and then the rest of the guys are tier one and a half. At that tier one and a half, you're looking at Kamara, Melvin Gordon, Saquon Barkley. I actually think Melvin Gordon might be able to be considered a tier one, with that same level as Gurley. The only reason I don't have Kamara up there is because there is Mark Ingram.
Okay.
It's those guys are bell cow backs. They're not splitting with anybody.
What about
I
Kareem
know.
Hunt then? He doesn't really split time.
I would also consider Kareem Hunt up there. I kind of forgot about him, which is embarrassing because you should never forget about Kareem Hunt. Dude's really picking it up.
He is.
What might put him down with the 1.5 tier is just play calling. They have so many weapons, and Andy Reid has been known to coach some guys out of the game if they don't need them. But lately, he's been on fire. But
Yes, he
yeah,
has.
that's only reason why I don't have Kamara up like in that same tier, but only a half tier behind, is just because there is Mark Ingram, and Mark Ingram's a very good running back, and he can siphon some stuff away from him. Now, I believe he's in his contract here, right? So he might not be there next year.
Right.
And if that's the case, then whew, Kamara might overpass Gurley in that tier.
So Saquon, out of all these guys we just discussed, he's the youngest. Do you see him with the potential to eventually take Todd Gurley's place as the top running back in the game as far as a fantasy standpoint's concerned?
I definitely do. I think because of his age and how talented he is, as long as the Giants figure out what as long as the Giants coaching staff figures out what everybody else sees, it's time for a new quarterback. It's time for a offensive-minded coach who could really take advantage of these things, and the players that they have, because they're a talented team. If they could just get their stuff together, they're a draft pick away from being a top contender, maybe top 10 in the NFL in terms of just talent alone,
Right.
and potential. So, he definitely has that option. But if he doesn't get that coach and he doesn't get that quarterback, more importantly, the coach, because we've seen how much coaches actually affect these running backs and wide receivers nowadays. I don't think he'll overpass him just because, Sean McVay is a genius. He's a great play caller. He's got his stuff figured out. And you just look at what these coaches are doing. I mean, take Chicago Bears, for instance, with Matt Nagy. I mean, Trubisky went from being a dumpster fire to being quite possibly a top five quarterback in the NFL, and that was all based on coaching. Tariq Cohen went from a no name, high potential guy to might be the number one running back on that team now, over a Jordan Howard, who's a commodity, a known commodity. So, coaching important. If Saquon doesn't get that, then it's going to be hard for him to pass it up. But if he does, that's another situation where you got to watch out.
Okay. Good
And
stuff.
speaking of Saquon, I will get to that New York Giants game, but he is my number one running back on the week.
Okay. Let's see. Do you want to talk about that New York game now, or do you want to talk about the Chargers Denver game? I like both of those games this week. Want to kind of touch on both of them. Which one are we talking about first?
Yeah, well, we can knock the Tampa New York Giants game out real quick.
Okay.
Saquon Barkley, Saquon Barkley, Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
I actually don't mind OBJ in this matchup either. He's been one of the top receivers since he started off a little slow this year, I think up to about like week three or four. But after that, he's been on fire. Even though the team itself is not doing that well, he's killing it. So I really like the Giants pieces in this matchup. And then Tampa Bay, I mean, they're a team that because they have a great offense and they have a horrible, horrible, horrible defense, it's bottom three for both running backs and receivers. So, I mean, their team was always going to be throwing the ball and trying to score points. So you could always get some of those guys in there. A Mike Evans, a Fitzpatrick if he's playing. But just watch that because they might start Winston now.
Why? Why?
I don't understand that.
So, my thinking on this is, you know what? Jameis Winston is still young enough to where he's got the talent. You can see that the talent is there. But you see different quarterbacks, and you can tell that watching them play, watching them off the field, on the field, that different quarterbacks have different mindsets, and some quarterbacks have a stronger mindset than others. And I'm not sold on the strength of Jameis Winston's mindset yet. And if he gets pulled, so let's say they put him back in this week, he's going to be playing like, oh, I can't screw up or I'm going to get pulled again because they've done it once. Where some other quarterbacks might, have that short memory that you want your quarterbacks to have. They're not thinking about what happened 5 minutes ago or what happened last time they screwed up. And I think that with a player that has Jameis Winston's mentality and mindset, that he's going to let that fester while he's out there playing. He's going to end up screwing up again. So if it were up to me, I'd just leave Fitzpatrick in and let Jameis Winston figure himself out. I understand there's money, involved there, and that's why they keep leaning back towards putting Winston in, but I just think it's a bad move. I mean, plus it going from one quarterback to the other, it changes the whole dynamic of the offense, and it affects the wide receivers, it affects the offensive line. It's just there's so much in with this situation.
Yeah, most definitely. It affects the locker room too. I mean, it seems like the guys really want Fitzpatrick. If they're trying to win now, Fitzpatrick's the guy. He's not obviously their long-term quarterback, but unfortunately, I don't think Winston is either. And I think we talked about in the previous podcast that, he's in his, he's got one more year, but it's a guaranteed if he's injured, correct?
Right, yep.
So if he gets injured this year, he's locked into that fifth year option, no matter what, and gets paid. So I think they're trying to kind of watch it. But you're right, it's going to cause him to make more mistakes because he's going to be thinking about getting pulled, and it's just a slippery slope that you don't want to be on. So I would be kind of wary of the quarterback situation. If they come out and announce a guaranteed starter, then I mean that's not a bad play, but I would definitely look at. I would consider Mike Evans, but really, the most important plays in this are the New York Giants side of the ball.
Yeah. Hands down, just not Eli. Don't play Eli.
Yeah, except Eli. He's awful. I need a new quarterback.
Super gross. Let's see. All right, let's go up to the Chargers and Denver game.
Yeah, this is a game I'm really excited to see. I'm projecting the over pretty high here. It's a 46 and a half point. I think it's going to be, closer to 50, 51 points maybe. And it could go more. The Chargers, man, they still are so underrated. They started off as a dark horse Super Bowl team at the beginning of the year, and they've just gone out and kicked some serious butt, and people are still not talking about them enough.
Yeah.
You hear them anywhere to being like a top 10 in the power rankings to they're on some people's number two or three list right now, which is incredible. And if you watch them, they are really that good. Between Philip Rivers, and his knowledge of the game in this, his consistency to Melvin Gordon, who's one of my favorite running backs this weekend, against Broncos for giving it up to the running backs. And to a receiving core that's just so explosive. I really liked Keenan Allen this week, even against tougher corners, but I'm kind of fading him because he got put on the injury report yesterday, actually, with like some fingers and hip problem. So
Okay.
he is susceptible to injuries. That's been one of his biggest downfalls as a player in the NFL. So against good cornerbacks, if he's a little injured and banged up, I'm gonna stay away from him, which makes me stay away from Phillip Rivers a little bit just because the cornerbacks are good. But Melvin Gordon, man, feel free to lock that dude in. Denver, I think part of the reason their passing defense is so good is because you don't need to pass against them. You've got you they're giving up 200 yards to yes, Todd Gurley, but they also gave 200 yards to Isaiah Crowell, who is.
Not
You know,
Todd
we're talking
Gurley's.
about, yeah, we're talking about Todd Gurley being on tier one. Corral's maybe on like tier 8 or 9. So if you're giving up 200 yards to him, then Melvin Gordon's gonna go out there and I mean he's gonna carry. Not that
Yeah.
he needs to, but he'll be able to. So I love the Melvin Gordon play this week.
Yep. And I like the Chargers defense this week. They're one of my top, they're not my favorite defense, but they're definitely up there. I think they're definitely playable against Denver. Looking at these grades and stuff, I think that the Chargers are going to run all over Denver.
Yeah, the Chargers defense has been again really underrated. And it, talking just long term, it's a solid defense. It grades out pretty well. And Joey Bosa is not even there. And we know that once Joey Bosa gets back and he's starting to practice, that defense is just going to jump up like 4 or 5 spots for me before he even plays. I mean, he's such a difference maker on that. And the Denver, as you know, I mean, Emmanuel Sanders had a great year. I definitely don't mind playing him this week. That's about my only Denver piece. But, they've been throwing some interceptions. They've been making some mistakes. And the Chargers defense is, I mean, they're a Super Bowl team, a Super Bowl caliber team. So they're definitely going to capitalize on any mistakes that Denver makes.
Absolutely. I've never been a Phil Rivers fan per se, but I love watching him play just for the game of football because he's, I don't know how long he's been in the league off the top of my head. It's been quite a while. He plays with the enthusiasm and joy and excitement of a really good rookie. He just has all this passion and heart, and it makes watching the game enjoyable because you do have a lot of just crap that happens that shouldn't be talked about in football. And when you watch him play, it's just he's just so into the game. Even when he's on the sidelines, if the defense is out there, he's just constantly in it. Now it's fun to watch.
Yeah,
So.
absolutely. He plays like a kid on the football field. It's really cool. Go watch some of his interviews and stuff. He's known in the NFL as the biggest crap talker,
Yeah.
but he doesn't cuss because he's just like a down home like country boy. But he gets out there and he's like picking on the guys and picking on the defense and talking smack, and he'll give them props when he gets sacked. And he's just a cool dude. It's fun to listen to him wired up or listen to him in his interviews because his teammates love it. The opponents think it's hilarious because he's just a cool guy. So.
One guy I don't like this week in this game is Emmanuel Sanders for a couple of different reasons. One, for where we have him graded out at, the value is just there's no value there really as far as what we're looking at. So I personally am staying away from Emmanuel Sanders, and especially my cash games. What are your thoughts on Mr. Sanders this week?
So Sanders has been getting it done. He does have a lot tougher matchup this weekend. The Chargers are, like I said, we talked about them being a great defense. He's matching up with a great cornerback. So like I said, it is a tougher matchup. But he always has the ability to blow up. I would consider him more of a GPP play this week. Most definitely, I don't think I'm throwing him in any cash lineups because, like you said, his price per his projection to his cash, I mean, his price per points is a lot lower. Just to kind of talk about that, here are some guys I have above him at a cheaper price: Sterling Shepard, $6,300. He's a wide receiver too, and I'm projecting him out to get a little more points than him. Larry Fitzgerald, 5,900. You know, so there's. And then we go up one, two, three, four. There's five, six, seven. I mean, there's about seven or eight guys above him who are cheaper, who are going to score near the same amount of points, if not more. So, yeah, definitely a GPP play, but.
GPP, I don't mind him. I just don't see him the I don't see the value there this week with him. So for me
Yeah, and
personally,
historically speaking, he's never done well against the Chargers. So that's one thing to take into consideration. In week one, he only had 4 points. Last year, he scored 6 and 9 points. And the year before that, he scored 4 and 10 points. He's never hit what he's been projected out to get. So.
All right, man, let's get one more game in here real quick before we close the podcast out. Any game jumping out at you that you want to talk about?
Yeah, so this is the most fun game for me. I know people are looking at so many other games and they're going to kind of laugh when I say this, but Tennessee Indianapolis is one of my favorite games. I'm really excited to watch this game. And here's why. Tennessee and Indy are those mid-tier teams for me right now, and I think both of them are figuring things out, have pretty solid players on both ends of the field, and have really good coaches who are really starting to make a name for themselves. So this is a really interesting game because the winner of this game, personally, I believe can go on and make a little, wild card run.
You think so? Okay, so man, I'm excited to jump into this game with you. I really want to hear your take on some of this stuff because I look at Marcus Mariota, and I'm like, hot garbage. There's just nothing but grossness from everything that I've seen. So, are you gonna change my mind on Mariota, or are we gonna look other directions in this game?
So Mariota's a GPP play. I would never say he's safe for cash right now. But I do want to point out when you're looking at Mariota, he came out the game one, he got hurt, right? Game two, they started a hot garbage quarterback. And he came back because the second stringer did so bad. And for the past 5 weeks from that point, he's been playing with like really bad damage in his elbow, nerve damage, nothing crazy, right? But he I know he was ha they were saying he was having trouble gripping the ball and things like that. So while I don't think he's the most prolific quarterback in the NFL, he's definitely a game manager. He definitely gets his team behind him. He's definitely a leader. He's got a lot of fire behind him. So I don't think he'll ever be a safe DFS play. I don't think he'll ever be more than a GPP play. However, I think he can definitely lead a solid team to some victories, I don't think they'll get far if they make a playoff run, but we've seen them do some pretty amazing things. I mean, they went out and they shut down the Patriots. They slapped them in the face. Now, granted, I don't think this is the best Patriots team that we've ever seen, but that's a big deal when you can go out and outcoach the GOAT and the GOAT, right?
Right.
I do really like Deion Lewis in this game.
Love Deion Lewis in this game.
His price, what I'm projecting him out to be, he's I know Derrick Henry siphoned some touchdowns from him last week, but Deion Lewis still got the bulk of the carries. He did great things in that Patriots game. He's a solid player. And then Indianapolis is nowhere near as good against the run as the Patriots were, so he's going to be able to
Yeah.
do some things. And then Corey Davis, man, we've been waiting for him to really break out, and the ironic thing is he's been breaking out in all the games that he shouldn't break out at. You know, he's done really bad against plus matchups, and he's done extremely well against bad matchups. If you look at all the places where we think he's going to do good, he, like I said, he just doesn't do it. But against Philly this year, he went off. Against New England this year, he went off. So I really like him. I think he's really coming out. I think the offense is starting to turn, get their gears rolling. And at his price, he's not going to blow up, but he's going to provide a safe floor for you. So I like I said, I like Corey Davis and Deion Lewis. And then on the other side of the ball, the tight ends, man. Between Ebron and Doyle, I mean, that might be the best tight end tandem in the NFL.
Yeah, no argument there. I like Doyle a lot better this week than I do Ebron, despite the fact what Ebron did last week. I think the game scripts out better for Jack Doyle. Let's see. I've got Doyle with a future DFS score of 45.36. Ebron at 40.89. And the value gives a big nod to Doyle in this one. Plus, he's a little bit cheaper, so you save some money with the more potential to get more FanDuel points.
Yeah.
Doyle's at 5,400, Ebron's at 6,000. So between the two of them, Jack Doyle wins. At the top of the pod, I mentioned that there are some really good value options this week, and the number one person I was talking about was Deion Lewis. If we're giving awards to NFL players for best value of the week, my award goes to Deion Lewis this week at 5,900. I absolutely love what I think he's going to pull off this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. He's pretty close to the free square we always talk about. I really like where he's at in value. So I think there's a lot of good value plays here between the tight ends. I have Ebron and Doyle back to back at like number at tight end like 5 and 6. Ebron, you're chasing touchdowns, which he's catching. He's on pace for crazy numbers right now, but he's not getting a lot of targets. And Doyle's just a target machine. He's honestly probably a better receiver than T.Y. Hilton right now, unfortunately. Unfortunate for the T.Y. Hilton owners or players, but great for a crappy tight end spot. Except we do get Zach Ertz back on this slate. So, that's the safest tight end in the NFL. He's a wide receiver in the tight end spot, so throw him in there if you've got the money, which you can save with Jack Doyle. I mean, Deion Lewis. So,
So if you're playing the Sunday Monday slate, we've got Kelce and we've got Ertz. Who are you giving the nod to between those two?
So in cash, I'm going Ertz. He's beyond safe. If I'm playing GPP, I'm going Kelce because I think he has a better upside for two touchdown game. He's definitely in a better position to score touchdowns this week as well.
Right.
But in terms of floor, I mean, you cannot match Ertz's floor. That thing is just, I mean, he just gets targeted crazy. What do you have, 14, 15 targets last week? And he catches them.
Yep. Love Zegers. And you mentioned Kelce in a GPP. I was playing around with FutureCast earlier today. Looking at different GPP stacks and things like that. One of the great things about FutureCast is, guys, you want to get like these high-end guys that are going to produce, and they sometimes cost a little bit more. And if you're trying to put your lineup together and you see a couple different guys at a certain dollar amount, you're like, okay, and you don't know who to go between. FutureCast does such a good job of saying, here, go this direction. And I was playing around with doing a stack with Pat Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Robert Woods. And for the members of Future DFS, I'll have to show you guys that in Slack, but it was super interesting what it came back with. But for everybody else that is not a member yet, no clue what you're waiting on. Go to www.futuredfs.com. Get your first month half off. Get in on all of this goodness that we are tossing out every week. Any other games you want to talk about or anything, or you want to jump into feeding FutureCast a couple plays so we can put a lineup out there?
Yeah, if you guys want more game analysis or in-depth analysis or anything else from us, you get direct access through us being a member of Future DFS. So hit us up at the website, join up, join our Slack channel, and feel free to pick our brains. But I think we wrapped the games up long on time, and let's get that FutureCast lineup rolling.
Let's do it. All right. So what we like to do is we're gonna lock in a couple of guys. We might throw a like on a player or so, and then we'll run it. So what are you what's our first lock?
I mean, I think we consensus agree on let's lock up Deion Lewis free square, pretty
Yep.
much between value and potential, and I think that's an easy one.
Okay. Any other locks you want to?
I'm not too set on any other locks. I think a cool thing to see would be let's maybe like or love, the other running back studs and see who FutureCast likes the most.
Okay. Yeah. So with FutureCast, it gives you options. So you can lock a player in, and FutureCast is going to say, okay, no matter what, you're getting this player. You can like it. You can like a player. And FutureCast says, okay, I see that you like this player. And if it works, I'm going to give it to you, which it usually does. You can love a player, or you can go the other direction. Let's say FutureCast, you look at the base optimal and you're like, eh, I don't really feel like. So you've got things like you can select meh, and it'll literally look at it like, okay, he feels meh about this player. Or you can say nope, like I absolutely do not want it. So many options with this optimizer. So who do you love or who do you like?
So I think I like about let's like okay I like let's go through the running backs. I like
You like
Todd
Melvin
Gurley.
Gordon? Okay, you like
I
Todd
like
Gurley.
Melvin Gordon.
Okay.
I love Saquon.
Okay.
Like Hunt, and then let's throw in Christian McCaffrey, who's been on fire lately.
Oh, okay. So you want me to like all those people that you just said? Like to. Just making sure.
Yeah,
Sounds like you're saying who you. Okay, let's.
let's like them all. Let's see what FutureCast picks. Let's her make the hard decisions for me.
All right. So okay, who was who'd you say again?
All right, Gurley,
Gurley, okay. Like
Barkley,
Gurley. Like Barkley.
Hunt,
Like Hunt. Okay.
Gordon,
I like Gordon. I like Gordon a lot this week.
and on fire McCaffrey. Those are probably my top five running backs right now.
Okay. So are we loving McCaffrey or just liking him?
Let's like them all.
Like them all. You have all been liked. Okay. And FutureCast takes a couple, takes about a minute or so to run. So while we are waiting, so we don't just have dead air, let's toss out one more free betting thing.
Okay, cool. So, I'm not completely done with my list. I usually get about 8 bets, 8 to 10 bets, and then I'll narrow them down to 4 to 6 locks. I already gave the KC plus 3.5. Here's a little prop bet that I like, that doesn't, it's not a game call, but this is a pretty easy money one right here. Dallas Atlanta over the 48.5 point over under. I really like this game. Dallas hasn't been exactly the greatest team on earth yet, but they do really well in plus matchups because it allows them to run their offense how they like to, which is gash some big plays with Zeke, give Dak some dink and dunks, short, third and one, second and four, or two and fours, Atlanta's going to allow them to do that, and then Atlanta has the firepower to just score. So I think this goes well over the 48.5 point over under,
Okay.
and I think that's a pretty easy one to lock in there.
I like it. Okay, she's back. And it's interesting. All right, let's at quarterback. So, oh, this is for FanDuel. Sunday, Monday slate. All right. Matt Stafford at quarterback. What are
Okay,
your thoughts on the
interesting.
we didn't talk about him. What are your thoughts on Matt Stafford this week?
He's in a good matchup.
Okay.
I could give him that, and because he's played like complete trash, his price
Yeah.
is really low. What is he, 6,800
6,800. Yeah.
on FanDuel? He's definitely a quarterback one this week. I worry about one, he hasn't had a really explosive game this year. I think the most points he scored this year was 25 against San Francisco week two, and San Francisco is a not strong defense. But he's had a lot of bad matchups, so this is another plus matchup. But at his price, I mean, it is hard to turn him down.
It is, and at his price, we were able to squish in a lot. So, at running backs, we've got Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, bam, bam. At wide receiver, we got Tyreek Hill. So it gives you some of your Monday exposure to, just a teeny tiny game. And the other two running backs, we got John Brown of Baltimore and Christian Kirk of Arizona. Who, dude, I'll tell you what, Christian Kirk, I watched him play last week, or the week before last. I'm excited to watch his career develop. Tight end, we got Zach Ertz.
Oh, love it.
Barkley, McCaffrey, Hill, Ertz, all in one lineup. That is beautiful. And Deion Lewis, who we love and we locked in. And then we're gonna round things out with your Pittsburgh Steelers.
And I love the Steelers this week. Not just being a Steelers fan, but their defense is so underpriced this week. And the Jags are not the Jags of the past. I mean, their offense has never been prolific, but their defense is not as good as it used to be either. They're kind of, and I love narratives, and this double revenge narrative last year where they lost the Jags both times they played them, and then they lost them in the playoffs. or I mean, this is a good game. And Bortles throws a lot of interceptions. The Steelers pass rush is like number one in the NFL right now. They're going to put some pressure on him. They're going to get him to make some mistakes. And at their price, they're getting priced like they played last year.
Yeah.
And it's a totally new year. So I love the Steelers defense. They're one of my top plays.
Yep, $3,800 with what they're doing, cannot beat it. Yeah,
That's a pretty solid lineup.
it
Let's
is,
go throw
and
that in. Let's go put some money on that.
already working on it. All right, guys, thank you. It's been almost an hour. If you've stuck with us throughout this entire thing, really, really appreciate it. You've gotten a lot of good information. Take it, use it, win money. Come back. www.futuredfs.com. Like I said, we're not just winning at football. We are definitely doing it at basketball and hockey right now. We did it all season long with baseball. So I urge you guys. I mean, and we have a lot of fun in our Slack chat channel. It's just good time all around, and we win money. We really try to make it like a family atmosphere on our site with our members. So come be a part of something and win money. And tune back in next week. We will be covering week 12, and we'll do this all again. Christian, had a blast. I'll talk to you later, man.
Absolutely. Take care.